this shit.
Fuck!
Fuck this shit! We came in this fucking room and everything went fucking bad. Fuck this shit, man.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Ginnert, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
Oh, we were talking about it last weekend, and I saw the Snoop Dogg get Rickrolled, and I had to...
You was angry.
Oh, yeah. I had to fucking laugh a little bit, so I thought I'd play that one.
No, I love the Rickrolls. I mean, it's just... Some of them are amazing where you get ones. I've just seen quite a few that are... And they're even getting more and more. I saw a meme the other day that showed one. It was basically like a freaking, you know, it was Wheel of Fortune. Oh, no, yeah, Wheel of Fortune. And I mean, you looked at it and it just took like 2 seconds. You're like, oh, I know exactly what that says. And not one letter was turned over.
Oh, that quick, huh?
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, I know what that is.
Oh, I got great news. Audacity not responding. Oh, there it goes. It picked back up.
No, that's always good.
Yeah, oh, fuck.
There's... There are some good Rickrolls out there. Definitely some good Rickrolls.
Now I turned up the mic volume. Jesus, crime in Italy. I can't even look at this shit. It's going to piss me off today. I'm just going to ignore it and hope the fuck it recorded.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I was telling you earlier. I don't know what happened. That fucking cell tower hijacking or whatever the fuck it was yesterday that fucked up everybody's phones. And we got the T-Mobile internet, and it started fucking with my internet, and I don't know what the fuck's happening.
See, and I heard a lot of people talk about that, and I had T-Mobile, and I never had a problem, or else I just wasn't on my fucking phone when it happened.
So, it was all throughout the day, but it was weird. So, Kevin called me yesterday, no problem, and it went right through, and he needed somebody's number. And so I sent it to him, and he calls me back, he's like, dude, that's a fucking bad number. Operator or whatever picked up and said this call can't be connected. This phone's no longer in service. Like, what the fuck? And so I sent him that guy's boss's number, and he calls me right back. Same thing. He could call me, I could call him, but he couldn't call anybody else. And then
the important people.
My boss, I think he called his wife and got the same fucking message. So standing right next to me, he called me to see if it worked, and my phone rang. But on my way home yesterday, I tried calling Tosh, and like four times, and then like the fifth time it worked, but.
It might have been too, because yesterday I was teaching at the AGC building, so I mean, I was on their Wi-Fi all day, so maybe that's why I never noticed it.
Yeah, I don't think any Wi-Fi per se. Like I said, I have T-Mobile internet, and I believe it runs off the 5G towers, so that could be part of the problem, but yeah. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but it drove me crazy.
Yeah. I know the only thing I've been having this week drive me crazy is I fried the radio in my Jeep like 6 months ago or something, but I've never really paid attention because I don't drive the damn thing. Well, yeah. I've been having to drive it all week and I have no goddamn radio. So I have like my phone playing like podcasts and shit and I can barely hear it. And I'm like, this is fucking dumb.
Yeah. I saw online what happened to your good Jeep.
You mean the Kia?
Or the Kia.
My company Kia?
Oh.
Yeah, I blew it up. Yeah, I blew that thing up. I was driving to up north. I was all the way in Ferndale, too, freaking 100 and whatever miles away from home. Went up there. I was about 5 miles away from the job site I was trying to go to. All of a sudden, driving down the freeway, totally fine. Never had a problem with this car. Went into limp mode. Dropped down. I could not go above 2,000 RPMs. Wasn't making a lot of noise. I could hear like a small, like a thunk, thunk, but nothing that you would really be like hugely worried about. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I just need to get off the freeway. So I was going to get off the freeway. And right as I was coming off the exit, I just heard this wham. And then freaking all of a sudden smoke billowing everywhere. I'm like, oh, this is not a good thing. So I coasted it to a gas station. I was able to coast to a gas station, pulled into a parking spot, called my boss, called the tow truck, said, come get the damn thing. I mean, you could see a film of oil on the back of the car. I mean, I'm like, oh yeah, pop the hood. There's oil everywhere. I'm like, oh, this is not a good day.
Head gasket?
No, it actually, the rod shot through the freaking block.
What the fuck were you doing? Kias aren't race cars.
No, I was just driving. And actually what they said is one of the guys at work that's like getting it all, you know, taken care of, he said that he looked it up and it's actually a known issue with some of those motors where it's one of those, like, they have no problems. And then there's catastrophic, like, boom, fucking gone. So luckily it's sounding like it's under warranty.
Well, so, work would cover all that anyways, right?
I'm sure. They are. But still, I mean, it's just like, fuck, you know, because I mean, they were quoting the shop that we took it to. There was like a $7,000 to fix it. But then it's one of those, the car still freaking, even though it's a 2014, still blue books at 14.
Yeah.
You know, and replaced would be like 16 to 18. So they were going to replace the motor anyway. But it sounds like we're going to be able to actually, they took it over to Kia and Kia is going to actually warranty it.
Oh.
But that also means once it's fixed, my car is in fucking Bellingham.
Yeah.
So I got to figure out how to go get it. So luckily we had one of my coworkers was up in Marysville. So he came up and picked me up. I still did everything I was supposed to that day too. I went to he drove me to the job site I was supposed to go and just chauffeured me around for the rest of the day and then took me home.
I was wondering if you got your 5 mile run in.
I did when I got home. Well, 3 miles, but yeah.
I meant to the job site. You said you were 5 miles away. So
no, I thought about it. But and this kind of pissed me off about the tow company. If they would have told me, I mean, they told me, they're like, oh, yeah, we have someone in your area. They'll be there within the hour. I'm like, sweet. Okay, then I'll stay with the car. Well, 3 fucking hours later.
Well, yeah. Like,
if you would have told me the truth.
They did. That was an hour in tow truck time.
I know, but it was one of those. I would have told them, I was like, hey, I'm going to go to the job site. That's 4 miles, you know, because by that point I was actually only like 3 miles away. I'm going to go to the job site. I could have them come pick me up because it's a job site. I know these people really well. They would have come got me. They even offered. And I was like, no, they're supposed to be here shortly. They would have come got me. I could have gone to the job site and just been like, call me when they're like literally on their way and I'll come back. So I'm here when they come get the car.
So
and I could have done everything I needed to do then.
How'd you get home?
Like I said, I had a coworker that was up in Marysville.
Oh, okay.
That lived in Tacoma, and he came and met me. But then the problem that we ran into, he has a little fucking, like, Hyundai, like, clown car. I mean, just itty-bitty little bastard. And I had a whole bunch of stuff. I'm like, I can't leave it with the car because I literally need it for tomorrow's class. So we had everything jammed into, like, the back seat and the freaking trunk. Like, stuff under my feet. In the front so I could get everything out of the car so I could bring it back here for the classes I had to teach the rest of the week. Yeah.
Good start to your week.
It was. So, but it actually, like I said, I got everything done. I had a really good meeting with the client up there. They took me out to lunch, you know, but I didn't get home till almost 7.
Sounds like somebody had a case of the Mondays.
I did, but I made it work out. I made it work. So, but then, yeah, the rest of the week I've been just driving my Jeep, but I'm, like I said, it's fucking green. Because I haven't driven it and it's covered in pollen.
Nah.
Do not go to the freaking Elephant car wash. They suck ass. Freaking, it's greener now than it was before I took it through the fucking car wash.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
I'm like, fuck, I'm going to go to Brown Bear next. Brown Bear at least has, like, you know, yeah, they usually get the car clean. I'm like,
yeah.
For those that don't know, the car is supposed to be like a burgundy, it's not fucking green.
Well, it free paint job? I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, because I don't drive it. I mean, I have a company rig. I've had a company rig for 4 years. So pretty much I just start it and drive it occasionally. And actually, that's how I fried the radio, was freaking jump starting it. So.
Oh, when it rains, it pours.
But I did that, like I said, I did that like 6 months ago. I freaking went to jump it. And on the Kia, for some reason, there's red on the negative post. So, and I didn't look for the positive or negative, you know, symbols. I just saw the red. So when I hooked it up, I did it backwards because I saw the red on the freaking negative post.
Oh.
And that ended up frying the radio in the Jeep.
Well, that's a bum deal.
Yeah. So the radio was fucked anyway, but you know, it's one of those things. So, I mean, oops, oopsies. Yeah.
Well, yesterday before the start of my internet problems, I guess, I don't even remember what I was watching, but then that ended and just another movie started. Have you ever seen the movie Top Loss or Stop Loss? I mean,
no.
From 2008, Channing Tatum, Ryan Phillippe, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Timothy Oliphant, and it's basically a movie about PTSD. And
sounds like a nice lineup.
Holy fuck, it was so good. And then with about 20 minutes left in the fucking movie, the goddamn internet went out. And by the time I got it back on, the movie was fucking over.
So now you don't know how it ended. It could have been the worst fucking ending ever, and you have no idea.
Yeah, so basically, Felipe Gordon-Levitt and Channing Tatum, they come back from war.
Yeah.
And their sergeant's trying to get him to re-enlist, and Felipe's like, nope. And his sergeant, I can't remember what they called it, but basically drafted him without drafting him, making him go back on another tour. And he ended up going AWOL. And it was fucking killer for what I saw. But and now I was reading about it. It's actually an MTV-made movie. MTV Films Presents.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
But, no, it was a really good movie. I was curious if you saw it because I want to know how it fucking ended.
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I may have to.
Well, son of a bitch.
Check that one out.
Yeah, it was good. So Saturday I went to the Nerf Herder show.
I saw that. I mean, you looked very excited about that.
Dude, it was everything I fucking needed. I don't know how else to fucking put it. Like, I feel like I put myself back in the punk rock closet. Where I mean, just kind of listen to it on my own in the car.
We've known you've been in the closet for years, but
I know. But it was the coolest fucking thing. There was five bands that played. It was better than the Menstruators. And the Menstruators was exciting too, right?
But it was a blast, yeah.
But we kinda had to mind our P's and Q's so we could get the interview. Like we were kinda there for a job, so to speak. Right. Yeah. We had a good time watching the show, everything else, but also this show there was probably 100 more people than there was at the Menstruators show. The first band was a Seattle band called, Four Lights. Fucking phenomenal. I mean, holy shit. Both me and Tosh looked at each other and were like, dude, these guys are fucking fantastic.
Well, Tosh looked like she was having a blast too. So, I mean, it was.
Yeah. And she's not a punk rocker, so to speak. No, they were, I mean, just amazing. Very Weezer-ish, Nerf Herder-ish, all along those lines. The lead singer actually looked like Fat Perry Como.
Nice. I mean, a Fat Perry Como, I kind of want to see that now.
They were all wearing, like, Adidas tracksuits.
So they had a theme?
Yeah.
See, those are the bands. I love a band that has a theme. I mean, not like Red Hot Chili Peppers where they're all just wearing a sock, but I mean something, you know.
Well, and then looking at them like on their Instagram and things like that, looks like they've done shows where they're all wearing suits. And let's see if I can play a little bit here. I bet you I'm going to get commercial. Yes, I did.
You did, but you caught it pretty quick.
I knew what time it fucking was. Yeah, this show got me super excited, so I'm just like, okay, I gotta share as much as I can about it because I need to get back in the scene.
And it's cool to finally get something like that where it does get you back excited again.
Yeah.
And that's been, I think, my problem, like even with comedy and some of this other stuff, I haven't had anything get me really excited again. A couple shows I've done have made me get a little excited, but not like I used to.
See, Fat Perry Como, or Rivers Como.
Yeah. They're old like us.
Yeah. Better pause that. My internet connection is unstable, it said. Anyways.
It sounds unstable, but I mean, it's, I can still.
Anyways, those guys were just, every song, fucking phenomenal. I actually bought
I mean, they sound pretty cool.
I bought two of their vinyls. They were fucking amazing. The second band was called College Radio, also a local band. And they started out, and me and Tosh were like, all right. Next song, me and Tosh were like, eh. Next song, me and Tosh were like, fuck, all right. Next song, eh. Really good stage show. Just, I'm not sure all the music was there.
Yeah.
Third band was this band from Chicago called Capgun Heroes. And fucking killer. Bought their vinyls. They
like,
were,
that one sounds familiar.
I don't know how big they are. Again, like, I haven't been in the scene for a long time.
I was like, that one sounds familiar.
Let's see if they have anything that can, my thing can tell me. Oh, there's their album. That's the album I bought right there.
I mean, it's kind of cool that when you put Cap Gun, it was like the second thing in the search. Unless you've already searched for that recently.
No. No, I searched them all on Amazon Music and downloaded all their shit. Let's see.
Well, like too, like I said, I mean, not to sound bad, they're old like us. So, I mean, it's not like... shows that we can still do this.
The best part is punk hasn't changed.
Oh. It just, they've gotten older and so have we. I love in the video how everyone's just shopping around the store like they're not there.
To be honest, that would probably be the most punk rock thing to do. Oh,
who's... Yeah, the fact that they're going to town in the middle of the freaking store, like right in the beginning of the store, and people are just walking by, shopping for shit, not even paying a goddamn attention that there's a band playing right there.
Yeah, they're like,
they just chucked his album.
As Toby would say, they just fucking yeeted it. So anyways, the lead singer of this band.
Just yeet the freaking album. And that was awesome.
The lead singer of this band, at one point during his set, goes, hey guys, we don't make a lot of money. I'm not proud. Any of you motherfuckers want to buy me a shot after the show, I'll be down there with you guys fucking partying, and you can buy me a shot. So just fucking randomly, in between each band, me and Tosh, or I would walk to the bar and go buy me and Tosh a beer.
Yeah.
And so I walk over, and about halfway there, I meet up with him. And he's like, hey, man, how'd you like the show? You guys fucking rocked. I said, but somebody here, that guy being me, owes you a shot. Let's fucking go. He's like, dude, this guy's already got me. I've had so many fucking shots. He goes, but we'll walk up to the bar together. So we walk up to the bar. There's like five of us with him. And he goes, I'm telling you guys what. I'm buying you guys fucking shots. But you take what I fucking buy you. No pussing out.
No, that's punk.
And we all look at each other, we're like, oh, fuck. And my first thought was fucking tequila. I'm like, I'm going to have to do a shot of tequila and show this fucking guy my party trick and get kicked out before I fucking see Nerve Herder. And I'm going to fucking lose it. And no, it was fucking Jaeger.
Yeah.
I think I would have rather had the fucking tequila, to be honest with you.
But you didn't puss out, did you?
Oh, no, not at all. But it brought back a flood of fucking memories that weren't very good, like blackout drunk memories.
Yeah.
And then he bought another round of shots, and we enjoyed shots with this guy. And then he followed us out, and he started a fucking pit for the next band, which was Chicks Dig It. I don't know who Chicks Dig It are, but everybody in the fucking crowd did because they sang along to every one of their fucking songs. I mean, nuts, but it was funny. I'm not kidding. They started a mosh pit with us 45-plus-year-old fucking humans, and it moved at about 2 miles an hour. And the bumps were no harder than me accidentally bumping you down the aisle of the grocery store looking for Depends and Centrum 7. Like, but they all had a fucking kick-ass tire. Dude, it was so fucking rad.
I'm jealous. I'm completely freaking jealous now. So
And then Nerf Herder came out, and it's fucking Nerf Herder. But
yeah.
Perry announces, he's like, yeah, I'm fighting this fucking sore throat after last night's show at Dante's in Portland. He's like, so I got 3 or 4 songs. I'm going to grab random people from the audience to get up here and fucking sing so I can rest my pipes. And I tried getting up there. I didn't get picked. But he did 4 songs where he brought singers up. 2 of them just fucking killed it. Knew every lyric, sounded good. 2 of them had no fucking clue what they were doing. And Perry had to, like, basically push him aside and jump in and save the songs.
Yeah.
But Nerf Herder played, and all of a sudden they look at their watch and they're like, we were supposed to be done by 11. It's midnight. He's like, we got 3 more for you. Fuck it.
Nice.
And boom, played 3 more. Dude, it was so much fun. And it reinvigorated my thought. I think the punk rock community is probably the best community in the fucking world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They don't give a fuck about anything. You know, fuck the government, fuck it all. Like, we're here to cause trouble. Right? But if you're a part of that community, oh, fuck, you got brothers for life, man.
Oh, yeah.
There was a couple dudes that fell in that mosh pit. I mean, they were pretty toasty. Dude, 20 people jumped right in to pick him up every time.
Oh, yeah. And that has always been the best thing about the punk community. Even when we were younger, I mean, it was still one of those things. I mean, you were punk. You, like, didn't give a fuck about anybody but other punks.
Yep. You were misfits. You were outsiders, but you all fucking belonged together. Like, and Tosh, like, at first she was people watching, and she's, you know, this is a renting girl.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, I'm like, no, I'm home. Like, yeah. I'm home, even though I probably looked 30 years older than I even was, with my golf shirt on, which I wore because that's what a Nerf Herder songs is, golf shirt.
Yeah.
But I had my golf polo shirt on, and, you know, everybody else was still with the fucking safety pin patches on their black hooded sweatshirts and, you know, Chucks and Vans and cut up jeans and.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, you know, not to sound bad, but that's the being punk is not about conforming. It's about not conforming. So,
yeah. And then we got to meet Perry after the show, which was awesome. And it was so much fun.
Sounds like it. I mean, sounds like you had a freaking blast. And what was cool, too, is you really look at, like, you know, that one band that you played the video of, the Cap Gun Heroes. If you when you're watching it, they were wearing. In their video, almost every single one of them was wearing a t-shirt from another brand.
Yeah. Oh, that, you know. Every one of them on stage was wearing a t-shirt from another band that night.
Yeah. And it's just cool to see that because it's like, you know, most people are so worried about, like, promoting themselves. You have to have your shirt on and you're this and you're that, you know. And it's
punk rock never has, though. It's always been support for every other band. So when they got up there, they thanked the ones before them and the ones coming after them. And the 2 Seattle bands aren't on the tour with them. They just got to play the Seattle show.
Wow.
And they even knew their names. Like, you know, hey, thanks 4 Lights and, you know, College Radio. And
well, that's awesome. And I mean, that's pretty cool to do it that way. Where, you know, when you announce the other bands like that, it means you have to kind of know who they are.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, pay attention, which is cool. I mean, could you imagine having Nerf Herder being, you know, introducing, you know, or not introducing you, but, you know, thanking you and everything else when they get up on stage? It'd be fun, cool.
It sounds like Nerf Herder used quite a bit of 4 Lights' equipment because they flew up. They didn't drive the van, or they brought their guitars and a cymbal, and that was about it. And so they used their amps and the rest of the kits and.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so they thanked 4 Lights for that, too. You know, letting them use their equipment. And yeah, dude, it was fucking everything. I did buy 2 Nerf Herder albums on vinyl. They had 150 of the original, their first LP on vinyl, the non-record labeled one. That was $50. That was a little pricey, but then I looked on eBay and it's selling for like $200. So I made a good buy there.
You made a good buy.
And then the new one with the song we played a few weeks ago with Weird Al, mm-hmm. We're playing the accordion. So the vinyl itself looks like a slice of bologna. Oh, it's like that opaque color.
Yeah.
And then it comes with a Nerve Herder sticker that scratch and sniff that smells like fucking bologna.
That's actually pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. I fucking loved it. Dude, we need to find just some punk shows. Like somebody with a headliner we know and then just see who they bring that's like them.
That sounds awesome. Because that was like the one thing I remember when we went and saw, you know, the Menstruators. I mean, there was a couple Seattle bands that went on right before them that were freaking awesome. I mean, it was a great show.
WizCon, we fucking loved. I actually bought their vinyl.
There was a couple awesome bands. And I think that's kind of one of the things I do miss, too. I mean, we've mentioned this before where both of us were really into the music scene as teenagers.
Yeah.
And then just kind of as we've gotten older, it's something that's kind of fallen by the wayside, just along with everything else that, you know, we end up doing as adults, you know, and I miss it.
Well,
which, by the way,
it,
Amber did buy tickets to, we're going to
New Kids.
So
I'm surprised you didn't say we're going to Rick Astley and be excited.
Well, that was the whole thing. I mean, really, she's like, I'm like, oh, look who's all there. And she's like, oh, you just want to go because Rick Astley's there. And I'm like, well, kind of.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I want to be Rickrolled in person. I mean,
I know a shit ton of people. We got to see if we can get everybody together and like grab dinner beforehand or make a bit of an evening of it.
That'd be awesome.
You know,
that'd be amazing.
Because that's what us old people do now. Fucking 20 years ago, we would have pre-funked, but it would have been at somebody's house getting smashed before driving into Seattle. Getting there.
So we used to, depending on where it was, we knew like the perfect bars to go to on the way. So we'd almost like park like 7 or 8 blocks away, depending on like which venue it was at. And we'd like basically bar hop to the venue.
Oh, not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea. No. And like literally when I walk into El Corazon, just instantly I feel at home.
I love El Corazon. Always have.
You walk outside of El Corazon, I did not feel safe at all.
No.
It was 10 cities on all 3 sides of them. Yeah. I don't know what was behind them because I didn't walk back there to find out. Luckily, we got parking just about where me and you did for the Menstruators, so we were right on in front of the building, you know. I could walk outside, turn my head left and see my car. But
hope you saw your car.
But the second I walked in, like, it's that dungy, dirty, beautiful fucking dungeon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you would have went to the show that night, it was $20. Like, that's what the door price was to get into the show.
See, I should have. We were in Ocean Shores, so I probably would have joined you.
$20 for 5 bands and 5 hours of fucking punk music.
See, I would love that. Amber did it. And that's been always the tough for me is because Amber won't go to stuff like that. She'll go to like, I mean, New Kids, of course. But I mean, usually when we go to it's country. And I think that's the other reason why I've had so much problems with like wanting to go to shows. Cause I'm like, I haven't enjoyed concerts. I mean, country music, like, okay, I get it. I'm fine. I'll listen to it on the radio. But you know, when I was single, country concerts were cool cause there was hot chicks there, but I can't do anything now cause I'm married. So.
Yeah, and so I was thinking about this on the way home from the concert, right? When you're there, it doesn't matter how you're moving. It doesn't matter if you're headbanging, if you're just bobbing your head, if you're jumping up and down, if you're moshing. It doesn't matter what you're fucking wearing. I was more worried about what I was wearing and not fitting in than anybody else in that fucking place was.
Yeah.
And there's no judgment. As long as you're not, I mean, the first rule written on the wall when you walk into El Corazon is don't be a dick. Like, that's all they fucking care about is don't be a dick. And you're not judged. And I got thinking, I'm like, so I really, really, really like New Kids on the Block. That's not a fucking secret. Always have. Always will. And I would love to just go and be me, but you are completely judged at a concert like that. You're either judged by the people that were total D-bags when you were in school when New Kids was popular, or you're judged by whatever young crowd is trying to be hip by going to see Rick Astley, you know. And I just don't feel like I can be myself at a show like that.
Yeah, it is always interesting, you know, when you go to some shows like that, because you don't really feel like you can be yourself, because it is, you know, you feel like you're judged.
You're 100% judged. It's just how it is, and it's fucking stupid, and it sucks, but it's the stupid fucking way of the world, I guess, you know?
It is, and I think it's just a different people. Like I said, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, like punk, I mean, usually with a lot of some music, there's just no judgment. I mean, like punk, hard rock, a lot of that stuff, no one gives a fuck. You're there, you're there.
Yeah, I've seen some metal shows get...
And some metal shows, they do get kind of judgy, like you're just... You're a poser or stuff like that. But I think punk's the one. No one really gives a shit. Yeah. As long as you're not like sitting in the back with your arms crossed and thinking, you know.
I don't even think they would care about that. As long as you're not saying shit to other people and ruining their time, you know. If you wanted to pay the money and sit in the back and cross your arms, nobody's going to bother you.
And that's what I mean. Sitting in the back, crossing your arms and like saying shit or doing anything to bother anybody else. I mean, as long as you're not bothering them, you know.
Yeah. No, I've been to some punk rock shows where they'll call you out right away if they don't like you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I've ever been to a punk show where brawls have broken out or anything crazy. You know, the pits are even tame for the most part. You know, they're fun, but nobody's in there swinging elbows, and you might catch a skanker's fist, you know, when he's out there skanking.
Yeah.
But... That's not on purpose.
I mean, that's not, yeah, that's someone just skanking and going for it, you know? And it's one of the things that's always funny is it's like, there's some of those words that a lot of people don't realize. It's like one of those things, like, there's the, is it Nerf Herder that has this, I want to skank for Christmas? Who is it that sings that song?
It's not Nerf Herder. Is it Real Big Fish?
I think it might be. But it's one of those, I love that song for Christmas. I'll play it all the time. And Amber's like, oh, I see how you are. I'm like, no, it's they're not talking about wanting it. They're not talking about that skank. They're talking about dancing.
I just want a skank for Christmas. Let's fucking see who that is. Yeah, Real Big Fish.
Okay. So, and that's one of those ones that, you know, when you're listening to it, they're not talking about, you know, having a skank as in a type of female person. They're talking about skank as in dancing. It's a type of dance. And it was like, I've never heard of that. I'm like, that's because you're from Renton.
they added a fucking NK to the word ska. Because skanking is typically done at ska concerts with the horns and, you know, all that fun shit.
Which is why Real Big Fish, it's their song, because that's their ska band.
Yeah. And I was trying to look on the wall on their calendar, like what's coming up.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice anybody I'd ever heard of. Again, that doesn't mean they won't be good. Right? But to be honest, I was reading the small print stuff to see if fucking Four Lights is coming back. Because I figured if they were, it would be... Well, they have a sold-out show in May already. Suicide in Silence. And Carnifex?
Never heard of them.
Me either, but sold. And that's what I kind of got the feeling, too. A lot of it looks like death metal.
Which is typical for Eric Ozone. I mean, that was one of their big things. I mean, you know.
I don't know, but they're... I thought they had...
Does that say... What's Jello Underground? Oh.
That's Fight Night.
I was thinking of. I was thinking of something else. I was thinking the band Jello.
Green Jello. No, that might be
if
worth
Green Jello, I would fucking go to that. But Jello Underground, I'd go to, too.
Green Jello, I think was here Saturday night, by the way.
Seriously?
I think they played with Pennywise.
What?
One night only event for Jello Wrestling.
I mean...
It sounds like we need to go to work.
Yeah.
Jello Underground is the only female-produced underground Jello wrestling showcase on the globe. Originally launched in 2009, the show quickly became an underground sensation within Seattle nightlife culture. Produced by women with an LGBTQ-friendly atmosphere, The diverse presentation featuring powerful women of all ethnicities and body types attracted equally diverse crowds of both men and women, quickly propelling the theater sport into a category all on its own, attracting media attention nationwide, and garnering an extremely dedicated fan base. Mm. Now, wouldn't it be great if in July their next read-up was Jello Underground has been covered internationally with local coverage by Cairo, Como, 107 The End, The Stranger, Seattle Weekly, Seattle Magazine, Seattle PI, Women's Health, NPR, SIF, Amazon Prime Video, and the Renewers Podcast.
That would be cool.
Yeah. See? I think we need to go cover it.
We do.
Huh.
Cover it and have a conversation with them, talk to them about how great it is?
Yeah. I was looking at this band, Weed Eater.
Weed Eater, huh? That sounds like an interesting one.
Nothing about him. Saints Premium Cannabis presents Weed Eater. Huh. No fucking clue. No clue. But, yeah, I gotta see this now, because somebody, I saw it somewhere, I swear to God it was Green Jello. I don't want the clown. Is this the band?
Green Jello would be cool to see. Well, I keep seeing, I looked it up, and Green Jello and Green Jelly both popped up.
Same band. They had to, their original name was Jello. And they got sued.
Oh, fuck. I say Thrill Kill Cult at the Crocodile on the 11th, but it sold out.
Who?
Thrill Kill.
Really?
No. Unless this is an old... Oh, wait, no, this might be an old curated listing. Because it's... Yeah. Because with COVID, I think it may have killed one of theirs. And now they're... I don't know. I'll have to look at that one. That'd be... They're freaking... I love Thrill Kill.
Yeah, they were at the WAMU Theater, Pennywise was. But maybe it wasn't with... Rise Against with Pennywise and Stick to Your Guns is what was Saturday.
Okay.
And it costs more to park there than what it cost me for the Nerf Herder show.
Jesus. Wow.
And $20 to park. I did contemplate going to see Lord at the WAMU. That's the other thing, though, right? Concerts are fucking expensive.
And I think that's what it is. I mean, you got to remember, when we were younger, I mean, a lot of people don't know about it, think about this, but we did, I mean, you could go to a show for $5.
Yeah. You could go to shows all summer for free. When they did Pain in the Grass was free when it started.
Yeah.
Fucking, and I saw like legit bands there. I saw Loudermilk. I saw Robin Wainwright the Third. I saw,
there was a lot.
I want to say we saw Live.
I saw a lot. I was trying to remember what band I saw. I think I saw some band there and got my... Oh, Mudhoney, when I got my head bashed. That was awesome.
Tell me this is...
I got dropped on my head on that. Because for whatever reason, I never understood why they did this. All of a sudden, it was like, you know, they had the crowd and you can crowd surf. But where the crosswalk was, no one was standing there.
You know who
so
Green Jelly...
They dropped me on my head.
Do you know who Green Jelly became?
Who?
Fucking Tool.
What?
In 1991, Bill Manspeaker set out to create the world's worst band, Green Jello, which would eventually help to form the iconic band Tool.
Well, I don't think they wore that it became Tool. I think just some of the members.
Here's Maynard and Danny with Green Jello.
Yeah, Green Jello has, like, if you look at, like, look at the list of people who... been in Green Jello and Green Jelly, it's a freaking huge list of people because they keep randomly throwing new people in and taking people out. It's like famous people that keep coming in and out of it.
I'm trying. Yeah, there's Maynard from in 1993 singing Three Little Pigs.
Yeah, because I was trying to think. It's been...
Fucking Maynard? Really?
Yeah.
I'm fucking blown away. I am fucking blown away.
Like I said, there's a, they had a whole bunch. I mean, if you go through, I think they had... Yeah. What? Yeah, Danny was a member. Maynard James Keenan, vocalist for Tool, recorded vocals on the song Three Little Pigs. So he sang things that falsetto, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Oh, and I guess he's named in it too. And the Green Gel theme song, it says Maynard and Poopy. They're both here, insane.
Yeah.
Huh?
Huh. What the fuck? What the fuck is that? Yeah. Now you know, I guess, right?
Yeah, Maynard James Keenan was guitar and backing vocals from 90 to 93, and Danny Carey was drums from 89 to 94. Scott Rozelle was the bass guitarist from 81 to 95. Huh. Because they were supposed to be, like we said, billed as, like, the worst fucking band. That was their joke.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they have some crazy things. And it looks like it's just been Bill Manspeaker since 2009 to now.
Huh. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I'm trying to see. There's got to be something coming up, punk. Like, what other venues are still around? The Crocodile?
The Crocodile, I think. And that's it. That's what I was trying to look up is, I mean, what venues are in Seattle? Because, I mean, I don't see any of the bands that I knew, I thought were coming that got canceled during COVID. But.
What about, like, the Showbox, like Soto and.
It could be.
There's a band coming to the Crocodile called the Cunningly Linguist.
Well, that sounds good.
That's actually
like that band.
That's actually tonight.
Your wife. You better get your wife to that band.
Dungeons and Drag Queens.
That actually sounds fun. I mean, honestly.
How do we have tributes to Drake already? What the fuck?
Why would we have tributes to Drake? Is he dead?
Is he good?
No, I said, is he dead?
I know. Is he good?
I don't know. Who is he?
He can be alive. That's fine. Maybe he should have been in the music industry a little bit longer and been good.
Possibly.
Croco Talk Show with Timmy Booth. Is that the Timmy Booth we know?
It could be.
At the Crocodile Sunday?
Might be.
I don't know. I want to go see more.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the things that they have, but I mean, I went up to the Showbox Presents, and that covers Showbox, Showbox Soto, Marymore, Soto Lounge, Kern's Music. All of those, and they got Robert Plant, Alison Krauss at Marymore Park, August 28th. Yeah, I don't see anything good. Bob Dylan at the Toyota Center.
There's no upcoming tour for Rancid.
I thought Bob Dylan was dead.
No. Dropkick Murphys tour, that pops up on here. Let's see.
Now that would be amazing.
Yeah, they're in Europe right now.
I have one of my friends that... lives in Boston, and she freaking parties with fucking the Dropkick Murphys. Like, she's friends with them and parties with them every freaking, like, St. Patrick's Day.
No shit.
I'm like, you bitch.
The Dropkick Murphys wants to know my location. I'm sure you do, buddy.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm gonna go, you know, I'm going to hang out with Dropkick Murphys and the guys. And I'm like, what? I'm like, seriously?
See, I miss when you had, like, Warped Tour, right? Where it was all same bands from city to fucking city. Yeah, they're playing a shit ton of Europe.
And why not? I mean, they're freaking, I love them.
All right, here we go. September, back in the United States, up. Then January 2023, they're playing the New York State Fair.
Really?
Yeah. And then they travel to Belfast, United Kingdom, and Dublin, Ireland, in the Three Arena. You go from the...
I mean, is the New York State Fair, or God, it has to be bigger than ours. I mean, because really...
Well, it's in Syracuse, so it's not like it's... I mean, I'm sure Syracuse is like New York's fucking Puyallup.
Yeah. We got Flogging Molly on September 17th at the WAMU.
Ooh. I like Flogging Molly.
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right, this is another band I still need to see. Let's see if they have anything... They're in Tempe. The Violent Femmes is who I'm...
I've seen them. They're freaking awesome in concert.
They used to play the Zoo concert series here. Pasadena, Port Bellingham.
Yeah, I saw them at the... Was it...
Moore Theater.
The Moore? Yeah, I saw them at the Moore years ago.
Okay, we can't go the 4th, although I think I would skip New Kids to go to the Femmes on the 4th.
Are they here the same time as freaking the New Kids?
Yeah, the 3rd and 4th. Let's see how much Ticketmaster...
We can see them the 3rd and then go back.
That's what I'm saying. We go the 3rd and then we can go New Kids on the 4th. Yes, I agree to your nonsense. $40 for Balcony.
Blister in the sun, baby.
I don't want to sit in the balcony. I want to sit down here. $35 for main floor, but if I sit in the balcony, it's $40?
Yeah, I mean, I want the main floor. I have to jump off the balcony again.
Or I can sit dead centered, like 10 rows back for $45. Ooh. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it.
Wowza.
I had so much fun. I want to do it again.
See, and that's the problem is once you get into this stuff, you're like, oh, I'm in. I'm ready to do it again.
Or we just, oh, it's in June. I was like, fuck, if it was wintertime, we can go ski and snowboard and go down to fucking Aspen. Hey, you still looking to go to Aspen? Want to get on my hog?
Weird.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, no. I'll be honest. I've never been a huge fan of that.
Oh, my. And I'm weird?
Yeah, no.
Hold on here. I'm weird?
What the fuck?
What?
Nine Inch Nails, they're in Troutdale, but they don't fucking come to Seattle.
Oh, bro.
They're in Troutdale in Bend, and they're like, fuck you, Seattle. We ain't coming up there.
I think it was a comedian. I think it was Tom Segura's Coming All Over America tour.
Yeah.
He's in Spokane and then Ridgefield.
I think a lot of people, honestly, with some the weird, like, political shit that have been happening in Seattle and all the fucking news about Seattle, I think a lot of people are just fucking staying away.
Huh.
Yeah, he's at, I mean, Nine Inch Nails are at September 7th at Troutdale, Oregon, McMenamin's historic Edgefield Manor, but it's $184.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the cheap seats.
Yeah. No different than Rage is coming, too.
And then you could see him in Bend in the next night, and that's $125.
Yeah, but then we could go to the fucking... Blockbusters.
I'll be down there on the 8th.
Not me. I get to go to LA on the 2nd.
Why?
Work.
They're going to make you get... They got to at least like let you go to a cool show or something while you're there.
I heard today I might be doing the Comedy Store.
Wow. How are you going to get that?
Monster made a call. They called me today and told me to be ready just in case we go to the Comedy Store.
That'd be cool.
So
I've been trying to get more into doing shows again, but yeah. But then it's like every once in a while I get so frustrated with some of the stuff and producing shows and I just don't want to freaking do it anymore.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. So like right now, I love the ordering place is great, but the problem that they're having, they still haven't got figured out what date they want to do for next month. And I'm like, we're running out of fucking time.
Yeah, next month's a couple weeks away.
Yeah. And then Sean at freaking Enum Claw is all bitchy because the show that Narin books, they moved from Bonnie Lake to Buckley, and now they're on like the last Wednesday of the month, and he thinks it's too close and that I should talk to Narin. And I'm like, you can go fuck yourself.
What do you mean too close? Not like you're bringing in the same people.
It's a week away and they're on the same plateau or something, and like he's got this, I don't know. I'm like, I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want drama. The whole reason I do this is because I don't want to deal with the drama and I just want to have fun. It's like, stop bringing drama into my fun.
Yeah, I saw Lost Woods move there. I saw it today, actually.
Yeah, they did. But I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you can't just be like, oh, hey, we have, you know, we do the first Wednesday of the month. Why don't you do like the middle move so we're farther off? I get it, whatever is business wise, but we're not taking the same people. We have a crowd that we built, and the people that show up to a show, they just know it's there.
I don't get it because, like, what I would get, you making sure you talk to Narin to make sure you have different comedians than he does each week, right? Make sure you're not booking them back to back. That way people that go to that show come to yours and not see what they just saw.
Yeah.
You know, that would be the only concern I would have.
And that's one of the things, I mean, me and Narin have talked a couple times. I mean, he knows. Because, I mean, really the one thing is because, one, I know if, you know, we do what Amber wants and we move to Texas, then someone's going to have to take over that show. And I know you don't want to do it because you don't want to deal with Sean.
Yeah.
So, and who do you think I went to and said, hey, if I leave, do you want this?
Narin.
Yeah. Because he's the logical answer. I trust Narin. I love Narin. Narin's great. So it's just, and then it's so funny too, because I even told John, I'm like, you realize that the July show I've already booked and it's Narin. So go ahead and, like, you know, piss him off because that's going to be funny for me.
Tell Narin 10 minutes before he takes the stage.
Yeah. I'm just like, really?
And let him just rip him.
So.
Could solve itself. He might not be invited back.
I mean, it's just like, Jesus. It's like, I don't know. He just everyone
just ask him. Do you want me to talk to Narin like you talked to me when you brought those other comedians in?
Yeah. So I'm just like, whatever. That's why I'm not. The only reason I do it is because I have fun with it. And it's one of those. But it's, you know me, if it gets too stressful, I'm like, I'm out. That's why I quit before.
Does he want you to ask Gabe not to do the chalet next Saturday so it's not too close to the show?
Yeah. And that's kind of my, you know, I'm like, really?
Fuck him.
Yeah.
Guy's a tool.
It's like, whatever. It's like, whatever, dude. I don't want to freaking, I don't like the drama. It's like, it's just, I just want to freaking book shows, come there, drink some fucking beer, watch my shows. You know, it's like, I tell you, when they're like, how do you pick comedians? Do you do that? I'm like, it's who I think is funny.
Yeah.
If I think you're funny, I'll book you. If
and,
I don't think you're funny,
and a fit for Enum Claw, because it is a little different crowd.
I honestly, with the crowd that we've been getting there, I've had a couple comedians. I had one that was, oh God, what was his name? But he really went into talking about how he was a pansexual and all that. And when he started to, I'm like, ooh, I don't know how this is going to go here. Because he was one that I hadn't seen before and was a referral from Cabin. And I'm like, and they actually took to it really well. This, but I've had a lot of people that were very, what's the word, liberal, that I thought would have problems there, who didn't.
Yeah.
When I first started hearing him, I'm like, I think it's funny, but ooh, it might not be good for this crowd. I mean, Morgan Preston sat there and totally made fun of them fucking horses repeatedly. And it's the only time I've ever seen them not get pissed about it. He did it in a way that I was actually fucking hilarious. And they were cracking up.
Good, good.
But I mean, it's just, it's a crowd now. It's not the same crowd because it's a crowd. We've conditioned them. They're there. They show up at 6:45 for the comedy and they leave as soon as the show's over. They are only there because of the comedy show and only there because they know it's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, well, so it's like, okay.
Well, not to talk too much shit, but he doesn't have very good beer, so that doesn't help. There's like three other breweries in Enumclaw now. I haven't been there, but it's competition whether I know what their beer tastes like or not.
Yeah.
So you got to have something else to set yourself apart.
Yeah.
So.
And that's kind of one of the things is it's like, you know, like I said, they show up. And what was funny, too, is I ran into, and when I was Ocean Shores last weekend, two people that go to the Enumclaw shows all the time. And they only show up for that bar normally for their shows.
Yeah.
No, so it's kind of like,
we had that in Imbibe too.
Yeah. We had a lot of people in Imbibe that just showed up for the comedy shows. And it's like, it's valuable to them. And it's like one of those things. It's like, you know, not sound bad, but realize that it's valuable. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it is. And people don't get it. And Imbibe could still be doing it.
Yeah.
If they got their shit together.
Yeah, and right now, ordering, they're doing it. The problem is we just got to get figured out, you know, and I've told them we got to figure out once the guy comes in, because they're waiting for the guy from the pool to tell them what days the pool league is going to be there. And I told her, have a conversation with them and tell them that we need to have a day that's just set aside monthly for this.
Yeah.
Because we have to be, if we don't get, we're not consistent, we lose them.
Yep.
We got to have that once a month consistent, you know.
Most comedy goers are drunken stoners that, you know, have to just look at a calendar and go, oh my God, it's first Wednesday. We got to go.
Yep.
And that's, what day was it this week?
Yeah.
No, that was last week. Oh, fuck.
Yep. We missed it. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why we got to have that consistent, you know, because that's the thing is like, and, you know, and at Cole Street, everyone knows the first Wednesday of every month, show up for comedy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. So. Well, we didn't get a whole lot of chance to talk Moon Knight.
No, we didn't, because we were talking, you know, music and all that kind of stuff, and music's fun.
That's all right, because like I was telling you, with the internet issues, I missed the episode last night. It started, then stopped, and I do need to watch that one. Probably do it as soon as we're done here.
Yeah.
I did catch up, though, watch the other ones. I did my due diligence.
That's good.
And then we were talking. I did watch the Thor trailer.
What do you think?
I'm fucking jacked.
Oh, I am too. And that end scene when she freaking all of a sudden the hammer and the look on his face like, oh, you could tell. I'm pretty sure he squirted right there as she grabbed the hammer. So.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, really, he looked like he squirted.
Dude,
I mean,
she's,
I did.
But. She's jacked. Like, I saw some of her training regimen a few months ago.
Yeah.
When, like, set photos were coming out and then they showed what she was doing to get all jacked and shit. And then when she caught that hammer, her bicep, her fucking pythons make fucking Hulk Hogan look like, the Huckster? Was that the makeshift Hulk Hogan they had? Yeah.
Like I said, when she caught that hammer, that scene, I squirted.
But here's my prediction that's going to make me sad. I believe the Guardians of the Galaxy are only going to be in it about 5 minutes.
I think so, too.
They're going to land. He's going to go, my war days are over. And they already show that scene in the clip where they fly back through the, you know, whatever the fuck it is, the barrier, the shield.
Yep.
And I have a feeling that's going to be it.
I do, too. I think it is. But I think there's still going to be enough in it. I mean, it looked. But, I mean, there was still some. But.
You got Korg.
Which whatever he was wearing looked amazing, but I mean, there's going to be Korg, and I think there's going to be a little bit more than that, because they did show kind of like one of the fight scenes or something where they were rolling their eyes and he was skinny at that point. So
I love the fucking workout regimen where he's doing the chains trying to get Unbro Thor.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. I did not. Loki's got to pop up somewhere, right? He's going to fall into this timeline. It's got to happen.
It's got to. I mean, it's one of those things, but I think it's going to be like, you know, with Spider-Man, where they were able to keep quite a bit under wraps.
Yeah.
You know, where all of a sudden we're going to get some really cool, you know, all of a sudden there's going to be some stuff popping up in this. This is going to be one that we're going to have to go see, like, right away. Just like, you know, when freaking next week? When Doctor Strange. We're going to have to get out there and watch that, because if we don't, we're going to have problems, because we're going to get a bunch of shit's going to get spoiled.
Oh, yeah. Now, I've done pretty good with avoiding that shit. I think that comes out. Fuck, I'll be in LA.
You better get out in LA and go see it.
That Thursday, yeah. So Friday, I'll have to come home and go. Yeah, Gore the Butcher, they did not show, but Gore the Butcher is in it. He is the protagonist in this one. Dude, the fucking Olympus, the Greek gods. We saw Zeus, which means we could be one step closer to getting Hercules.
Yeah, which that was one of those things that Benton's been talking about, that where we see the Greek gods and all that. Yeah, he's all, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to, I mean, it's, yeah, I'm all excited. I can't wait. This is going to be awesome. Like I said, both of those I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I'm beyond jacked, to say the least. I did watch The Batman again on Monday.
Is it just as good?
Oh my God, yeah, it's fucking amazing. It's fucking amazing, and I'd like to, I've never even had this thought cross my mind, but I need to slap the shit out of fucking Chris Rodriguez.
Why?
Who said it was boring.
I did see that.
What the fuck are you talking, did we watch the same movie? Was he watching Batman Forever? Like, what the fuck was he watching?
I don't know, I think he was watching that Christian Bale Batman.
Nah, that's not bad, you shut up.
I'm just hoping Christian Bale doesn't screw this, you know, the Gore up as bad as he did Batman.
You shut up.
When's the last time you watched him? Go back and watch it right now.
A month ago?
After watching Robert Pattinson, and watch it again. I'm just like, no, I just.
I did. That's why I went back and watched him, because after seeing that one, I wanted to go back and see him. And no, they're fucking amazing.
Like I said, I don't know. I'll be honest. Like I said, I had no problem. I thought everybody else was great. But for whatever reason, Christian Bale annoyed the shit out of me in it. And I don't know why.
You're wrong.
It's kind of like Nick Cage, where Nick Cage just annoys me. But I really, and it sounds bad, I really want to see his new movie.
It comes out Friday. I do too. It doesn't sound bad at all. I want to see it too.
And the main reason, it's like I told Benton, I'm like, because it points out and makes fun of every fucking problem I have with Nick Cage. Like, when he sees that horrible statue of himself, he's like, that is grotesque. I'll give you $20,000 for it.
Although, yesterday, when I got home from work, I was flipping through channels, and, like, the last half hour of Ghost Rider was on. And I was like, oh, got to get jacked for Nick Cage. It almost made me not want to go see the new Nick Cage movie.
some of those are just like, oh.
And then, Eva Mendes came on. I'm like, well, it's watchable.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see Sam Elliott's ghostwriter.
When was Sam Elliott ghostwriter? What do you know that? Huh?
In that movie.
Dude, I think I've only watched that one time and then the last 20 minutes the other night.
They basically, he's not a huge part of it, but they do show him as the ghostwriter on a horse.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't remember that.
In the 2007 film, he was the caretaker.
Yeah.
At the graveyard.
I had a thought. Caretaker. Is he going to be, do you think they will delve in the multiverse and bring him back and Eric Bana? Has nothing to do with the cinematic universe, but they now own the rights to that.
Oh, yeah. Because that's right. Because he's someone who's played two different characters in Marvel.
Yeah, he was, what the fuck was his name?
He was the Thaddeus Ross.
Yeah, Ross. Colonel Ross is what I was saying. Yeah.
But then the other guy took over as Ross in the later movies.
Yeah, he was in different parts of the MCU too. He was on that board during the Sokovian Accord.
Who, Sam Elliott or the other one?
The other one,
yeah. The other one's been throughout the MCU. Sam Elliott was only in the one, and that was the first one, right?
Yeah, with Eric Bana.
Yeah.
As the Hulk, and Liv Tyler as Ross's daughter. Yeah. Betty, I think. But. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's been two characters in the MCU.
Yeah.
He's Ghost Rider, because that's the Ghost Rider I want to see.
Sam Elliott is Ghost Rider.
Sam fucking Elliott. He was. Like I said, go back to the 2007. It's him. There's a shot of them riding next to it where he's riding the horse as the Ghost Rider and Nick Cage is riding the bike.
I don't know if I want to go back and watch those movies at all.
You got, like I said, I just looked it up and it shows, you know, the picture of him on the horse and as the Ghost Rider.
That 20 minutes was rough.
Oh, I bet.
Rough. All right. Well, let's see. May 2nd. We're 2 weeks away. You have comedy at Cole Street.
I do.
You already leaked. Ask me that. Who's going to be there?
What, in May?
Yeah.
It's Megan. No. See, Narn's there in July, but.
Oh.
It's Megan Gross.
Yuck.
And I don't mean that. That's just her name.
Okay.
it's Megan Gross and damn it, there it is. So Melissa Thomas is the host. Robert Cash Moore is your feature. And then Megan Gross is the closer. And honestly, I've only met Melissa once, and Megan I've never seen, but I've heard really good things about her. So.
Megan did our comedy competition at Imbibe, I believe.
Did she?
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
I think I was drunk. I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. So, all right. Well, that's the third, right? The third? Yes.
Yes. No, the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the fourth. That's what I said. The fourth.
Yes, the fourth.
At Cole Street Brewery. That is May the 4th.
Yes, may the 4th be with you.
May the horse be with you.
Yes.
In Enumclaw.
Yes.
Yes.
In Enumclaw, where the horse rides you.
May the horse be in you. And then Friday, it's going to be May.
Going to be May.
Yeah. All right, guys. All that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.